John says, greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's the kind of love that Jesus expressed towards us when he literally gave his life for us. He truly does love us. Speaking of love, we're in the last week today of a series that we started at the beginning of February called That's My Type. And we're talking about all things relationships. If you've been with us the last few weeks, we've just been diving into what it looks like to be the type of person ultimately that God wants you to be, the type of person that probably that Andy Stanley says like this, are you the type of person that the type of person you're looking for is looking for? So instead of just focusing on the type of person that we're looking for, focusing on the type of person that we're becoming. And you know what they say, you attract who you are. So the best way to find the person that you're looking for is to become that person, ultimately attract that type of person into your life. And so we've talked about a lot of things for the last 3 weeks, and we were set to actually start a brand new sermon series today, but we hadn't talked about what I feel like is a really important part of relationships, and that is the physical aspect of relationships. So for a few, minutes this morning, let's get physical. What do you say? but we're going to talk about this because it's such an important part of relationships. You think about it, for most of us, my type is a person of a certain stature, a certain appearance. They have a certain look. And so physical appearance is very important to us when we're selecting a person that we're going to spend the rest of our life with. And so for most people in a relationship, this is a major factor in who they are attracted to. By describing their type of person, if you ask somebody the type of person they're looking for, before they get into everything we've talked about the last 3 weeks, the first thing they're gonna probably refer to is that person's appearance or that person's stature. And the Bible knows the importance of stature, the importance of physical appearance, and it acknowledges this in the scripture. In fact, I wanted to read some verses to you this morning to start out today, and you may have never read this, and you might be even find it a little hard to believe that these are words that are written in the Bible, but let's just open up your Bibles this morning. If not, in your handout today, you can follow along. Song of Solomon, chapter 7 says, are you ready? Everybody ready to blush a little bit for a few minutes? Your cheeks might get a little red for a few seconds here. He says, how beautiful your sandaled feet, O prince's daughter. And then he starts to get graphic. He says, your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hands. Guys, don't you wish you had thought of something like that when you were trying to talk to your wife or when you were trying to land that amazing girl to spend the rest of your life with? Your navel, I don't know if you'd say it like this, but your navel is a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. Your waist is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies. Now, this is a couple thousand years ago, and so Sir Mix-a-Lot would say it a little bit different. He'd say something like, you know, I like big butts and I cannot lie. You know, that was his version of Song of Solomon. He says, but Solomon says, your breasts are like two fawns. I don't know that I would recommend, guys, that you say it exactly like this, but they're like twin fawns of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are like the pool of Heshbon by the gate of Bath-Rabbim. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or an insult, but you're looking towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel. Your hair is like a royal tapestry. The king is held captive by its tresses. Your stature, that's what we're gonna talk about for a few minutes this morning. He says, your stature is like that of the palm. Your breasts are like clusters of fruit. I know we have different ways. Sam Hunt in his in the country version, he says a little bit different. He says, your body's like a bag. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me hanging like a bag, bro, right? All right, y'all don't know, y'all ain't country fans? A few of you are country fans. But here's the point this morning is that it's important in a relationship with somebody that you are attracted physically to that. This is legitimate, right? To look for someone that you are physically attracted to. Now some Christians will say, well, you know, the physical stature doesn't or shouldn't matter at all. But the truth is, It matters. It matters. You want to be physically attracted to that person. I mean, you're going to wake up every morning to them. And you want to be attracted to them. But here's the deal, is that while beauty is important, beauty really is, and I know you've heard this saying, but it's true, beauty really is only skin deep. And what I really want to talk to you for a few minutes about this morning is people's stature, their appearance, but I want to dig a little deeper, and I want to look at some soul deep attractions that we ought to be looking for in a significant other. Proverbs says it like this: charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord, she will be greatly praised. And so Solomon here, he's saying physical stature is important. Physical appearance is important. But spiritual stature is much more important when you're discovering my type, ultimately God's type for us, the type of person that God wants us to be for our partner. It isn't a person that just has the physical stature down, but it's people that are focused on their spiritual, their emotional, their mental stature, their appearance. And so what I want to share with you for a few minutes is what it looks like to have this type of stature, the type of stature that we're looking for. Number one, write this down. Number one, we're looking for somebody. Ultimately, we're trying to become somebody that knows what it's like to stand tall, right? Because every lady wants a tall guy. Poor Sonia, she missed out, all right? As much as that was her dream guy, she didn't get it, all right? I was looking, as I was studying for my sermon, there's all kinds of dating sites out there, and they've kind of morphed over. One of the original ones was OkCupid.com. And some of you probably remember this back like in 2010. I know we got everything. We even got Farmers.com. Like, we got everything if you're looking for the right mate today. But one girl on her profile on OkCupid.com that I came across, I thought that was funny. She simply had under her self-summary section, it simply said, "If you're under 6 feet, don't message me." She wrote it three times. If you're under 6 feet, don't message me. If you're under 6 feet, don't. Thank God Sonia didn't have that back on OkCupid. We didn't have OkCupid back then. On MySpace or whatever way we were trying to find each other back then. If she did, like, there was no chance for Pastor Donnie of finding the amazing, beautiful wife that. But she's just saying, I think, what a lot of ladies are thinking, that standing tall physically is attractive to a lot of people. But I want to talk to you about standing tall spiritually, because I think this is even more important. You may not have any say-so in how you stand physically, but you got a lot to say in how you stand spiritually, emotionally, and mentally in your relationships. And I'm telling you, as much as you're attracted to them because they're 6'4", you want to make sure you find somebody that's standing tall spiritually. This is what I know about life, and especially about relationships. Sonny and I are going on 20 years here in a couple of months of being married. Here's what I know about life, is life has a way of throwing a lot of things at you. Life is difficult, okay? Not to even mention relationships, just talk about life. Life is difficult. It's a struggle sometimes. Relationships are hard. And as you come into a relationship with somebody, you start to build a family, right? There are seasons of your life that are very difficult. There's trying seasons in your relationships, in your families, and life has a way of throwing things at you that you may not have even been prepared for. You may be caught off guard by what life brings. You want to be connected to somebody that has resilience, that's brave, that's courageous, that has a relationship with God, that the foundation of their life is built on something that is strong. So when the storms come, they're able to stand tall. That makes sense this morning? Some of you know what I'm talking about, because you know what it's like to go through these type of seasons, and you want to have somebody next to you. You want to have somebody that you're in a relationship that knows what it's like to stand tall, to stand tall. Proverbs says like this: the wise are mightier than the strong. The wise, I know you're attracted to those people that are extremely strong physically, and that's okay if you're attracted to somebody like that. But listen to me this morning, the wise, And watch this. The writer here, he's comparing those that are spiritually strong with those that are just physically strong. Those that are wise because they've built their life on a relationship with Jesus versus those that are only focused on their physical appearance. He says the wise are much mightier than the strong. So I don't want to discount physical strength this morning. In fact, I hope you're involved in working out and focusing on your physical exercise every day. That's healthy. That's a way to live long. But I want you to know that you've got to live strong. Live strong. So you look for a person whose relationship with God makes them strong. Makes them strong. Let me encourage you too, if you're already in a relationship with somebody, maybe it's time that you encourage each other to be strong, to find yourselves in the Word of God, to be in prayer, to join in maybe a men's group, a women's group, so that you can learn how to stand tall spiritually. You need to have people in your life who are teaching you, who are challenging you to stand tall spiritually. This is the kind of people that you want to be in. This is the kind of friendships that you want to build. I want to be connected to people that know how to stand strong, stand tall, and that are encouraging me to stand tall. So this is important. This is an important part of the kind of person that I'm looking to spend, well, I've already found her, but if I was looking to spend the rest of my life with, I'm not on the prowl today. So I don't have a subscription to OkCupid or none of that. I found the one, but stand tall. And the second thing is, write this down if you're writing notes. There's a couple points I want you to hear. Number one is stand tall. Number two is somebody that'll stop and stare. That will stop and stare. This is what a person of spiritual stature looks like. Someone that's not afraid to confront what they really look like. Somebody that's not afraid to really examine who they really are, and to confront with what they're presented with. Hopefully, most of you, part of your daily routine is looking into a mirror, right? I mean, you probably, that's part of my type. I want somebody that knows how to check the mirror right before they leave every day. This is part of our daily routine, is that we at least kind of glance in the mirror. Hopefully, you did this morning before you left. You woke up, you were tired, you took a shower, and before you left, you took like one quick glance in the mirror to make sure like everything was in its place, right? But what I'm looking for is not somebody that just glances to see what their physical appearance looks like. Somebody's not afraid to stop and really look in to the person that they are today. And the Bible talks about this. James says it like this. He says, if you listen to the word of God, and you don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, then you walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look, watch this, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free and you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And this is challenging. This is the kind of people that I want to be around, because these are people that are not afraid to really stop and stare at the person that they're becoming. You get into a relationship with people that maybe have only glanced at who they are. They're only worried about what they look like on the outside, right? Now we even got on Instagram and Facebook, we even have filters so you can even alter what you look like. You ever met people, like you've seen their Instagram post or their Instagram handle, and then you meet that person in real life? Come on, somebody, you're like, who are you? You are not the same person. Here's why. Because everybody wants to cover up who they are. They want to put a facade of who they want to be, or they want to project who they want people to think they are. But very few people are strong enough to really stop and stare and say, really, who am I? And this has caused so much tension in relationships, because people are not willing to confront who they are. Maybe the ugliness of something that's happened in the past in your life, and there's still residue of that in your life, and you're not willing to sit down, maybe sit down professionally with somebody and work through some of that residue in your life. And this boils over into relationships. You want people that have enough courage They're not just strong physically, but emotionally, they're strong enough to say, you know what? I want to deal with the person I've become. I don't want that residue to spill into our relationship. Trust me, there's enough from the outside that's trying to destroy your relationship and your families. And then you start adding everything that comes from the inside of who we are, the people that we are as we come into relationship with other people. I want somebody that's not afraid. And I'll tell you, the greatest place you can start is by staring into the Word of God. This is what happens when you read the Word of God. This should be part of your daily devotions every day, that you're reading through the Word of God. Here's what ends up happening. As you read the Word of God begins to read you and begins to expose who you really are. King David is like the perfect example of this. David was the man that God chose to be the king of all of Israel. In fact, as he was choosing him, before he had a chance, the people of Israel chose somebody before David. They chose a man by the name of Saul. And the Bible says that Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody. He was a tall man. Everybody wants the tall man, right? I'm just saying that a lot today because it's kind of therapy for me this morning. Like for all of us short guys, I had to deal with this all our life. The challenge, the obstacle we were up with, what we faced, the challenges that we faced. But that's what all of Israel, they say, we want somebody that's head and shoulders above everyone else. And so they chose this tall man. But that's not who God chose, because God said, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And so God saw this shorter version of the king he wanted to have in David on the backside of a hill, a little shepherd boy. But God saw the inside of who David was. He saw this was a man that was after God's own heart. This is a man that loved God, that was sensitive to God, that was sincere in his relationship with God. But even David, though he was the right choice to be king, even David had flaws inside. And one day, all of the soldiers are away for battle, and David, commander-in-chief, is at home. He's on his balcony, and he sees a woman bathing below him. And she must have been hot. And she got David's attention, and David's like, I want that woman. So he goes to great strike. He goes to great lengths to try to take this one. In fact, at the end of the day, he eventually has her husband killed. This is what he does. Just so that he could have this woman. And so God sends the prophet Nathan to David to confront him about what he is hiding. David hadn't spent enough time, really discovering who he really was inside. He didn't realize there was an area of his life that he didn't allow to come under scrutiny of the Word of God. And so Nathan the prophet confronts David and exposes the sin that is inside. That's what you need. You need people that are not afraid to confront some of the ugliness that is inside of us, but not only to confront it, but to deal with it. And immediately David falls to his knees and begins to beg God for forgiveness. And listen to one of the Psalms that David wrote. He says, search me, O God, know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Notice as David says, God, I want you. I don't know my heart. I don't know everything. I've got blind spots in my life. You ever looked in the mirror and just kind of glanced, right? Some of us got blind spots. You ever glanced and didn't realize that you walked out and like things weren't like they were? You ever seen somebody come out of the bathroom and they got toilet paper hanging from there? You ever done that? Let me give you an illustration this morning. This is what I'm talking about, right? Like you just kind of glance in the mirror. It's one thing like, oh yeah, I look good enough for Sunday morning. But when you stop and begin to stare in that mirror, like I can do this for just a few moments. I noticed my glasses are a little crooked. I noticed I need to plug my eyebrows. I see a few little blackheads on my nose, and I don't want you all checking this out later, but that's just a few things. Just by spending a few extra seconds there in the mirror, imagine how healthy we could be. Imagine how strong we could be if we took the Word of God and we didn't just glance at it, but you took time every day and you read into the Word of God. You spent time with God asking God, I want you to search my heart. I mean, here's David. He, He's reached the epitome of success. Surely God's hand is upon him. He's leading God's people. But even David had some blind spots in his life that eventually led to him murdering somebody. And this is what happens in relationships, is we have blind spots in our life that we haven't allowed to come under scrutiny of God and his word, and they lead to destructive behavior in our relationships. Some of you are all happy when I was talking about Song of Solomon, and now you got quiet on me. You can get back to Song of Solomon later with your spouse. But let's just talk a few minutes this morning, right, about just taking time. Now watch what I'll say. He said, test me and know my anxious thoughts. That's what happens. Some of you, you're in relationships, your partner, or maybe you're dealing with anxiety. You're dealing with discouragement. You're dealing with depression. You have some deep-rooted issues in your life. David said, I want to deal with this guy. I want you to help me. I want you to give me the courage and the strength to stop and really discover who I am. This is so powerful for you, not just in a relationship, but you as, and I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you today to stop and take some time and deal with really who you are. Our natural instinct is always to want to cover up. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, they immediately wanted to cover up their sin, right? God's like, no, I've already got that taken care of. You don't need to worry about covering up what you've done wrong. He comes looking from the garden, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And Adam's over there hiding. This is what we tend to do. We tend to hide from the ugliness that we see in the mirror. You start reading the word of God and God starts exposing things for you. I wanna encourage you to be like David and just say, God, I want you to put me under the spotlight. I want you to help me see the blind spots in my life. This is what my type looks like. It's somebody that carefully looks into the mirror. They see where they are spiritually, where they're at emotionally, where they're at mentally, and they're not afraid to confront that. Somebody that will stop and stare. And the third thing I want to share with you this morning is part of being somebody that is my type, it's somebody that's not afraid to take a knee. Somebody that's not afraid to take a knee. So having spiritual stature means not just standing tall, not just stopping and staring at who we really are and coming under the scrutiny of God and his word, but it's also somebody, and I know this may go against the grain of what everybody's looking for in a mate, somebody you want to spend the rest of their life with. You want that person that's strong, that can stand against anything, that's not afraid, but it's people that are also humble. Not only do they stand tall, they're not willing to confront who they are, but oftentimes when they see that, they're willing to be humble. Humble. Humble, obviously, before God. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we get that, people that are humble towards one another. You would be amazed, some of you haven't tried this yet, how far humility will go in a successful relationship. And this took time in my relationship with Sonia to really, and not that I've reached perfection by any stretch of the imagination, but this is something I've just been working on over 20 years in my relationship with Sonia, is learning to be humble, to approach our relationship with humility. I told you last week, we touched a little bit last week of how we're called to be submitted to one another, but I want to take it a step further this week. We're not only called to be submitted to one another, we're called to serve one another in our relationships. Not just that we're submitted in one another as we come ultimately submitted to God, but we're called to serve one another in our relationships. The greatest example of this is Jesus. In his last hours, he's about to lose his life, and he's there at the Last Supper, the last chance to spend time with those who he's closest to. And this is, I wanna broaden this a little bit. This is not just in your relationship with your spouse. This is in relationship with people, friendships, any type of relationship that you're in. Jesus exemplified this. He's there, he's at his last meal with his disciples. He's talking with them. Judas, the man that's about to betray him, is there. Jesus knows what's about to happen. He knows about to lose his life. He's gonna be betrayed by one of his closest companions, a man that spent the last few years of his life. There's a group of men, 12 of them. They've given the last couple of years of their life fully devoted to Jesus. So you can imagine the camaraderie, the type of depth of relationship that they have with one another. Jesus is the leader. They're following him. At the end of supper, Jesus gets down on his knees and he begins to wash his disciples' feet, including Judas. And this is what you got to do. Washing feet was common after a meal during these times. But the people that typically did this were slaves. They would call in the slaves, the servants, the maids of the house, and they would wash the feet of their guest. But Jesus, the leader of the pack, gets down on his knees and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. And he was doing that as an example of how we are called to serve one another. Imagine what your relationships would look like if this was your approach to them. Instead of who's the boss? Is the man the boss, or is the wife the boss, or do you have to do what I say you have to do? Or imagine if this is the way you approach your relationships. If you're just looking for opportunities of how you could serve one another. Imagine what the church would look like if we treated our brothers and sisters in Christ like this. If we were looking for opportunities to serve one another. Jesus said, he that wants to be the greatest of all must first be servant of all. And so here Jesus is taking the position of the slave, of the servant in the house that day to exemplify what it looks like for us to be in relationship to one another. We are called to serve one another. Just think about for just a few minutes. I want you to stop right now and just think about ways right now you could be serving one another. Think about how you could be serving your friends. Think about how you could be serving that person that you work with. Think for just a moment how you could serve your spouse. I mean, it can be simple things like holding the door open for one another, bringing your spouse coffee in bed or breakfast in bed. Maybe some of you are like, are you trying to give Sonia some hints this morning? I'm just telling you what it would look like, babe, if she could just serve me. But no, really serving, helping them instead of allowing them to go through problems in their life alone, finding time to help them with certain situations like that, serving people, even people like Judas. I know this is hard for, this is the kind of life that Jesus, this is what it looks like to be a Christ follower. This is the kind of life that Jesus calls us to. And these are the type, listen to this morning, these are the type of people that you want to be in relationship with. Everyone who stands tall starts on their knees. This is really the starting point of your spiritual strength, is people that are not afraid to spend time on their knees. Proverbs again says it like this: haughtiness goes before destruction, but humility precedes honor. Humility. You want a successful relationship? Start with humility. Humility precedes honor. One quote I read said, he who kneels before God can stand before anyone. Isn't that the truth? Anyone, if the people that understand that it starts with me kneeling before God, you're trying to get a promotion at the job, you're trying to rise the ranks in whatever place you're at in life, I'm telling you, it starts by falling on your knees. You want the kind of strength and stamina to have a successful relationship. It starts by you falling on your knees. He who kneels before God can stand before anyone. And listen to me, one of the most important things that you can look for in somebody that you're wanting to spend the rest of your life with is somebody that is not afraid to take a knee. Somebody that's not afraid to take a knee. Somebody that's not afraid to admit that I can't handle everything in life by myself. And I'm not gonna try to navigate all the difficulties of our relationship by myself. I'm not gonna be the know-it-all and have all the answers. I'm not afraid to get down on my knees and say, God, I need your help. Somebody that's not afraid to admit that I have complete dependence upon God, that God is my source of strength, that God is the one that I rely on to get me through the difficult times in my life, that's not afraid to take a knee. There's a Christian song out. It's one of my favorite songs out right now. It says, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Instead of fighting with one another, to be spiritually weak people, emotionally weak people, when they get into conflict with their spouse, they start to blame one another. They start to pick one another apart. They try to look for excuses of why things are going wrong. But the spiritually strong people, the people you want to be connected with, the person you want to spend the rest of your life, the person you want to become for that person that you're in relationship with, is a person that's not afraid to take a knee and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this all on my own. I can't navigate this in all of my own wisdom. God, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Through prayer, through depending on God, through putting my trust in him, through recognizing that my greatest strength not comes from my own wisdom and my own resources. It comes from the only type of strength that I can get that comes through my relationship with God. You want a strong marriage? Take a knee. Take a knee. You want to build strong families? I know it's really practical, but when was the last time you and your spouse just got on your knees and you prayed together over your relationship? When was the last time you gathered your kids around them, showing them what it really looks like to be a warrior, to be strong? Some of you are going through difficult times in your life right now. Listen to me this morning. Take a knee. You're not called to fight on your own. You're not called to try to figure it out on your own. So you're facing some really tough struggles in your life right now. I want to be connected with people that are not too haughty, that don't have it all figured out, that are willing to say, God, I'm going to humble myself. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight.